So for the fourth time, Smith has championship point.
Game, set, and match at Smith. 4-6, 6-3, 4-6, 7-5.
Back in 1972, Stan Smith beat Ilya Nastasi on centre court to win the Wimbledon men's singles title. 45 years later, the two have vastly different fortunes when it comes to the scene of that epic five-setter. 70-year-old Nastasi has been banned by the organisers of Wimbledon because of his foul-mouthed behaviour during their Fed Cup match between Romania and Great Britain in April. By contrast, Smith, who's also 70, is more than welcome at the All England Club. As a former champion, he's an honorary member there. And as president of the International Tennis Hall of Fame, he travels to the four Grand Slam venues in Melbourne, Paris and New York to highlight the Hall of Fame, which is based in Newport in the American state of Rhode Island. With the 2017 men's champion about to be anointed, I ask Smith how he became involved with a venture that aims to preserve the history of the sport.
Well, I've been on the board now for about 10, maybe 12 years, and Tony Trabert was the president of the International Tennis Hall of Fame until about 5 years ago, and I've been the president since then. And so my role really is to help promote the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Todd Martin is the CEO, and he really is there day-to-day running the International Tennis Hall of Fame. We have a tournament the week after the Wimbledon. It's a grass court tournament in the United States, which is quite nice, in Newport, Rhode Island. And so this year it's called the Dell Technologies Championships, Hall of Fame Championships. And so that tournament's been going on for decades. And so that's a big part of the Hall of Fame calendar, but we have other small tournaments at the Hall of Fame grass courts. And of course, the museum has just been upgraded. We've spent $3 million in upgrading the museum. So it really is a great place for a tennis fan to go and view the history of the game. We have players that wore the first pair of shorts. We have memorabilia from a lot of the great champions. The newest interesting display is a hologram of Roger Federer. And you go into the small room, it's dark, and you push the button, and Roger comes out. And it looks real life. It's unbelievable. And his message is the 10 reasons why he loves the game of tennis. And certainly interspersed among that is his accomplishments and that sort of thing. But he really talks about why he loves the game, and it's a tremendous display. But we have a section for all the Grand Slam tournaments, all the four tournaments. We have a section for the WTA, ATP, and of course some of the great champions from the past.
How important is it for people who are guarding the history of the game to update?
Well, we think it's very important. We really had a capital campaign of $15 million to upgrade the total facility, the tennis courts themselves, the indoor courts, the grass, and of course the museum. And so we think it's very important that the great champions of the game should be celebrated and honored and recognized through the museum, and of course through the induction ceremony, which is on the Saturday of that tournament, which is the week after Wimbledon. So that's been the time when the players have come, and we do recognize and celebrate their accomplishments and induct them into the Hall of Fame. We give them a jacket, both the men and the women, and then at another point in time, we honor them at a location that's significant in their careers, with a ring.
Now, as president of the Hall of Fame, is there anybody who looks at you and makes sure that there isn't too much Stan Smith in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Todd Martin is the CEO. He makes sure that, they may have a pair of shoes there and a racket or two, but it's been a real honor for me to be the president and to help really promote the Hall of Fame and the game.
Surely not citing victory too soon. That really was a loose back and volley from the champion.
For people of my generation, we know you as a great champion. But for my children's generation, it's because of the tennis shoes, which have become very, very fashionable. Has that surprised you in having this afterlife?
Well, I'm a fashion icon now, but most people do know my name. Most people think I'm a shoe, actually, but the shoe's been around with my name on it for 45 years. In 1972, I developed a relationship with Adidas, and it's been fantastic. But in 2012 and 13, they took my shoe off the market. It kind of lost a little bit of its niche in the marketplace, and so they relaunched it in 2014, and totally through social media, and it's become, as you said, pretty fashionable now.
Now, one doesn't usually at this game slice back a heavily sliced board, particularly for a drop shot, so a great piece of luck for the younger player.
As a champion, what is it? Because one can look at a final, you can see these two guys or these two women are evenly matched. As someone who's won and lost at finals, what is it? What can you say?
Well, I think the fact that young players need to appreciate the process of trying to get there, to try to win a Grand Slam or to be number one in the world or attain their goals, and that's really what they should be focused in on, is improving each year, being honest with themselves as to what they need to do to get better, whether it's physically, mentally, technically, tactician-wise. And, you know, I must say it's a matter of one or two points here. I mean, I lost in the finals of Wimbledon 6-4 in the fifth, and one or two points made the difference there. I won the next year 7-5 in the fifth. I mean, it was a matter of one or two points here and there. So a player shouldn't be just so focused on that winning those things, but to really just doing the preparation to get ready for that. And then, you know, having the confidence to go out there and to really go for it. And the great champions tend to hit the great shots when it counts. And it's they're going for it. They're giving it the best shot, not being kind of tentative or defensive or, concerned about the result, but really just going for the shot they think is the right one.
Venus Williams was asked in one of her press conferences who she would like to go back in time and play. So as a great champion from once ago, who would you like to come forward and play?
Well, you brought up Venus and, of course, Serena, and they have transcended the game. And I grew up in Southern California near where they grew up in Compton, and to see what they've done, to see what Richard and Orsina have done with them as parents and coaches to a certain extent, it's also mind-boggling. That's another great, great story that's out there in tennis today. But, I was able to lose to a lot of great players, Borg, Vilas, Laver, Rosewall, Newcomb, Ash. I lost to all the great players. And so, when I won the court, I just wanted to see if I could, put a decent showing against these great players. But, going back to play a Don Budge, for instance, or a Tony Trabert, or, Fred Perry, some of these players that played before my time. And for me to play somebody like a Nadal, I'd rather go to my dentist. Yeah, I on clay particularly, to play Nadal on clay would just be, like having a root canal.
Stan Smith, the 1972 Wimbledon champion. That's it from Sports Insight for this week. My thanks to Valentin Vanner for studio production. And from me, Paul Myers, ciao.